the love of Christ is unimaginable, and we have a tendency to forget that at times. We're going through life, and we see the pitfalls of life heading towards us, and sometimes we can't do anything about it. We fall straight into the pitfalls even when we see them, and we forget at times that God does love us, and that God is not a respecter of person. He doesn't look at one person and say, I love them more than the other.
Welcome to A Word from God with your host and teacher, James Lindley.
The title of this episode is The Dynamics of Love and was recorded live at the A Word from God Bible Church in Springfield, Missouri.
Hi, this is Misha Pelkey, and before we get started, I want to remind you that James loves hearing from his listeners. Drop him a line via email at james@awordfromgod.net. That email again is james@awordfromgod.net. Or write to James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri, 65801. That address again is James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri, 65801. Now here's your host and teacher, James Lindley.
Listen, guys, I am fired up for God because today's topic is the dynamics of love. Key verse is going to be Ephesians chapter 3, verses 16 through 18. I'm reading out of the NIV here today. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. Amen. The love of Christ is unimaginable, and we have a tendency to forget that at times. We're going through life, and we see the pitfalls of life heading towards us, and sometimes we can't do anything about it. We fall straight into the pitfalls even when we see them, and we forget at times that God does love us, and that God is not a respecter of person. He doesn't look at one person and say, I love them more than the other. We as human beings do that, don't we? But not Jesus. He accepts us. He accepts us in love. And one of the prayers here by the Apostle Paul was that we would grasp that we would see that love that God has for us through Christ Jesus. That is a lovely prayer that Paul is saying to this church, to the Ephesians here. We too should pray that we would see the love of Jesus in our own lives. Because listen, until you know you are loved by Jesus, you will not fully grasp how much love you are capable of. Do you guys catch that? Until you realize how much you're loved by Jesus, you will not grasp how much love you're capable of. Because today we're going to be talking about love. And we're not just going to be talking about the love of Christ, but we're going to be talking about loving people through the Holy Spirit as well. So the first thing I want to say today is that the source of love is Jesus. Listen to 1 John chapter 4, verses 8 through 16. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. You see a person walking around who's loveless, you see a person walking around who's godless. You can't separate the two. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. Listen, you can't live next to Jesus. You can't live behind Jesus. You can't live in front of Jesus. You can only live through Jesus. He has got to be in your heart. He has got to be a part of your person. You can't do it on your own strength, can you? You want to be kind and loving to people, but it don't work out full time, does it? Only through Jesus Christ. This is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. What a rebuke. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us. See, sometimes you got to show love to people even when they're not showing it to you. Amen? But we always want to wait for the person to show us love first, don't we? Well, I love them when they show me some love and respect. It doesn't work that way, does it? The Christian has to be the initiator of love. The Christian has to be the one that extends their hand out, even to the undeserving. There's more reward in loving someone who does not love you back than there is in someone who already loves you. Amen? There's more reward in that. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. You want the love of God complete in you? You must love one another. We know that we live in him and he in us because he has given us of his Spirit. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him and he in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in him. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. Do you follow what this is saying? You cannot separate from God and love. You cannot pull yourself away from God and be capable of loving people. You got to have God in your heart to do it the way God desires you to do it. Now, I know what some people think. They think, you don't know me, Pastor James. I'm a loving person, and I'm a good person, and I'm a kind person. And I'm not going to sit here and dispute that with you. But we're talking about a level of love that is so great that the unbelievers can witness that and see something different in your life. We're talking about a love here that is selfless, that is self-sacrificing. We're talking about a love here that extends into the supernatural. Do you follow what I'm saying? A love that forgives, a love that seeks after those who aren't seeking after you. God is the source of love. Much of the so-called love talked about in today's world is not true love at all. God is the source of real and lasting love. His love is pure and holy. You can love your car. You can love your job. Some people think that they love their spouse. But do they really love them in Christ? To hold a marriage or a relationship together, you got to have Jesus in the middle of it because he is the glue. But a lot of people say, I love. And they say these things with empty words, but love is a powerful word once you put it into action. God is also the source of his word. He spoke his word to faithful men who recorded it diligently. In 2 Timothy verses, chapter 3, verse 16, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. Now, why is that important? Because God's word teaches us about God's love. It tells us of the sacrifice of his own son. Do you understand the demonstration of love that God has shown us through his son, Jesus Christ? It's one thing to tell people you love them. It's a whole other thing to act upon those words, is it not? Because you know what? Talk is cheap, is it not? Talk is cheap. People promise us stuff all the time. I will be with you forever, and I will never leave nor forsake you. Well, the Bible tells us that, and I believe that when it comes from God. I don't think we realize the love that God extends to us through Jesus Christ. See, we hear the words Jesus Christ all the time. We turn on the television and we hear preachers saying, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And sometimes we turn on secular TV and we hear the same. But what does this really mean? I want you guys to imagine for a moment that you have a loved one, someone that you hold dear to your heart, someone that you care about more than anything in all of existence. And I want to ask you, would you sacrifice that person? Would you sacrifice them for someone who didn't deserve it? You see, God bore his spirit into the flesh of a man. And that person was called Jesus Christ, and he was born for one reason, to die for our sins. That's why he came. He was the love of God. He was God's precious son. Of course he loved him. He was his only begotten son. There has been no more Jesuses. There has been no more sons of God or daughters, has there? He was the only child of God. And God allowed him to be hung on a cross after being beaten and then stripped naked and humiliated. Do you understand the penalty of sin is death? Do you understand that if God allowed his son to pay that penalty for us, that the non-believer is going to go through the same punishment? Jesus was innocent of sin, but he took our sin on out of love, not out of duty. He didn't have to do it. Nobody forced him to do it. He did it out of love. And this is what we're talking about when we accept God's love. When you realize what Jesus did for you on the cross, how could you not love him back? How could you not hold your head in humbleness and say, thank you, God. I didn't deserve Jesus to do that for me. How could you not see what Jesus did for you and not recount all of the sins that you have done and ask God for mercy? How could a person do that once they realize what Jesus has done? But see, if you don't accept the love that Christ has given you, if you do not accept the free gift of salvation that he has given you, if a person doesn't do that, they're not in love. And then there's no relationship with God, now is there? If there is no relationship between a person and God, then when it comes time for them to face God after this life is over, after the opportunities have been spent, you are separated. That person is separated from God for all of eternity. And some people say an all-loving God wouldn't do that. Well, would a loving God force someone to be with them that didn't want to be with them? A loving God would give a person their free choice, would he not? You see, God is love, but he is a just God. He's not going to force anyone to be with him that doesn't want to spend eternity with him. So this is an invitation. This is an invitation. Jesus paid the penalty out of love for our sins, not his own. He didn't do no wrong. So who did he pay it for? Mine, yours, and the rest of the world. But you got to accept that. You got to accept that through love. Amen? God is the force of love. Hebrews 7:25, therefore he is able to save completely those who come to God through him, because he always lives to intercede for them. The force of love. You don't have anything stronger than the force of love coming from Jesus Christ. Listen to this. He is able to save a person completely. When you come to God and you come to him through Jesus Christ and Jesus washes away your sins, when you accept that, guess what? You're clean. You're clean in front of God. You are now a part of the family. You're not going to hell, but you do have some choices to make. You know what those choices are? Those choices are you going to live for Jesus now? Let me explain something to you. This force of love that we're talking about here, it's nothing to be trivial about. Jesus died for you. You had the chance to take your punishment, but you surrendered it to Jesus. When you give your life over to somebody, it's not your life anymore, is it? It's not for you to do with what you want. That means that you got to live for Jesus now. It's a trade-off. You're telling Jesus, because you exchanged your life for mine, now I'm going to live for you because I owe you my life. I owe you my life. All two times, though, Christians will take the salvation part. They'll say, Jesus is my Savior. But you know, he's also our Lord, is he not? And what does a Lord do? A Lord rules over somebody. Now, thank God that we're in a state of grace, because the kingdom of God has not been established on earth yet. Revelation has not taken place, right? The book of Revelations, the events, that hasn't happened yet, has it? But when it does, God's going to call up his saints. You think he's going to be calling up the people who claim to have repented? Repentance means a change of heart, a change of direction. No, the force of God's love is going to come into full effect on that day. And the saints who do his will, the saints that truly surrendered to him and repented from their sins and truly accepted him as their Lord and Savior, those are the people that God's going to call forth. Because, see, you can say words all you want. I love Jesus and I believe in Jesus. But let me tell you something. When a person does not have that love in their heart, I'm not saying this. The Bible, we just read it through Scripture, says you don't have God. You don't have God with you if you don't have love. So let your actions reflect your love. Today's world offers horsepower, steam power, and nuclear power. None of these compare with the power of God's love. Come on now, you know you can have all these things, and if you don't have God, you really don't have nothing. Earthly power assists in easing the burden of life, but it can also destroy life and bring devastation. Earthly power can be good and it can be bad. I've seen people make it successful and it destroy them. The force of God's love brings peace and joy in this life and eternal life in the hereafter. What I'm saying is that you can go out there and achieve the things that you think you need to do to get above other people and circumstances. And you can have a life that is easier. And at the same time, while you're going for those things, you could be destroying other people's lives if you don't have God and you're not doing it God's way. Do you understand what I am saying? That if we seek these earthly powers without the assistance of God, we can actually end up destroying our own life and or other people's lives. The power of God's love reaches everyone. It touches the gambler, thief, adulterer, and prostitute. All who repent, believe, and forsake their sins may be saved. John chapter 3, verses 14 and 15, just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. Now listen. I want to talk about the course of love here. Who does not know this scripture? John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. We all know this scripture, don't we? It's a very, very popular scripture in the Bible. But how many times do we really look at this scripture and think about it? I ask you again, what is it in your life that you love so much that you would give something that was precious and priceless to you to save it? To save it. How many of us would give our one and only begotten child to save someone who's living in sin? How many of us would do that? You think about the pain and the suffering and the death that Jesus Christ suffered for all of us so that we may be saved from sin. And when you start to realize that, you'll start to see the love that God has. And what does God ask of us in return? That we go to jobs that he blessed us with and we become a witness for him there? That's not too bad, is it? That's not too bad, is it? That we come to church on time and that we worship him and that we enjoy the praise music that he blesses us with? That we love our church, not just your pastor, but everybody in it, including those who aren't here with us today, who are hurting, who are suffering, who are making wrong choices. Do we just cast them out? Do we just give up on those who are making wrong choices, who are destroying their own life? Do we give up on them because they're a member of our church and they don't make it here? Do we do that? God forbid that Jesus would give up on us when we give up on him, right? I mean, come on. It's easy to judge the person sitting next to you in church, isn't it? Who you know things about that are not godly. But what about the secrets we keep to ourselves? That's just between us and God. And we expect God to forgive us for those things. But yet we don't want to forget our neighbor in church who isn't here, who isn't living to our standards or what we think God's standards are. I'm not condoning sin by any means. But what I mean is that if God can show this love to people and extend it to the sinner, remember, he loved us before we loved him, and while we were in our sins, Jesus died for us while we were in our sins. You understand that? God didn't wait for us to repent before he sent Jesus to die for us. We were in our sins when Jesus died. So what more are we supposed to do? We have to extend the love to other people. We have to extend love to the coworker that doesn't deserve it. Because we don't deserve it. We don't deserve it. But Pastor James, that's a sacrifice. John 3:16. Was that not a sacrifice? John 3:16. Look what God sacrificed for you. And when you meditate on this scripture, you will realize that God's not asking you to sacrifice a whole lot, is he? And when you really meditate on this and you think about what God gave for your life, for your redemption, and then you see what he's asking you to do. Oh, just be a little bit nicer to this person. But God, he treats me bad, or she says things bad about me. Love them. But I don't want to love them. My son died for them too. You know, Jesus died for that person at work, or that neighbor next door to you, or that family member you can't stand. He died for them too. They just haven't accepted the invitation, perhaps. Or perhaps they have and they haven't been living in love. And perhaps your reaction to that person is not love, right? So the course of love, God's love reaches into all the world. It touches young and old, the weak and strong, the great and small, and the rich and poor. Every race, every color, and creed is included. You can't look at one group of people and say, well, God doesn't love them. Or look how poor they are over there. Look how poor those people are. I don't see God loving them. No, you can't do that. You can't make a judgment call like that. Well, you think God doesn't love poor people and that's why they're poor? Nonsense. Jesus says the poor you will always have with you. Don't think for a moment that God couldn't wave his mighty hand and make the poor rich. But we live in a fallen world right now, and God is trying to save it from sin, not from poor, not from poverty. Amen? That's not why Jesus came. He didn't come to make you a millionaire. He didn't come to change your color or your race. He came to save you from sin.
This is Misha again to remind you that James loves hearing from his listeners. You can contact him via email at james@awordfromgod.net. Again, that's james@awordfromgod.net. Or write to James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri 65801. And be sure to visit us online at www.awordfromgod.net. I'm Misha Pelkey for A Word from God.
And I'm James Lindley, and I want to thank you for listening. And I pray that God will bless you immensely from this message.